We actually wrote a booklet about how that unlawfully expanded wiretapping against American citizens. So they put that into a statute, the Patriot Act, as you said. Meanwhile, something we don't know until, of course, recently, they were engaging in warrantless wiretapping of American citizens apart from the extra authority they'd already asked the government.
Yeah.
So we have our eyes on the wrong ball. They're doing something completely outside of the law they even asked Congress for, and boom-o. And we're focused on writing about how unconstitutional that part of the law is.
And the other piece of it was the relaxing of the FBI guidelines.
Right.
The movement in the 60s was powerful enough to get the FBI out of our lives. You know, we used to say the police state is when the police can infiltrate your private organizations. Those are our organizations. This is supposed to be a democracy from the bottom up, not from the top down. And the cops were in all the various anti-war groups. They were on the campus. They were everywhere. We got them out of there. But those guidelines that kept them out of there were reversed. And now we've got them. And I'm sure that there are cops in every mosque in this country. There are cops in every peace group in this country. There are cops in every campus in this country from the various intelligence agencies. And that's been a sea change and a reversal of our victories from the movement of the 60s.
I think it's more than the director. I believe that there is a systemic problem with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Individual agents whom I have had the painful privilege to talk to and interact with more in the past, between 2001 and 2005, and since thereafter I don't speak to them. But during those conversations, they used to share that this is grandly stupid. They are just keeping us busy and doing things that has nothing to do with actual intelligence gathering and counterintelligence, counterterrorism, and so on and so forth. And they used to admit that there is a systemic problem. All we are being told by the DC is to do this, to interview people, to harass people, to interrogate them, to stop them at the airports, to visit their mosques, to visit schools, and so on and so forth. So I think it certainly the leadership plays an important role in that continuum, but I think there's a systemic problem in the agency itself. They just need a perceived enemy to keep themselves busy and keep seeking resources. In a response to the recent Mueller statement, I responded by saying he's lying, and in reference to that they not surveilling the mosques and they only surveilling the suspects or the individuals. And I said that that's a clear lie, either a lie or he doesn't know what his department is doing.
Downward. I mean, one thing the FBI has said to us that does cause us some concern is that they've said that our request is under review and that they may be making redactions or blacking out sections of the guidelines, and that's why it's taking so long. That also causes us concern because the copy of the draft guidelines we saw were a clean, unredacted version. So again, we think the public has a right to know how the expansive powers given to the FBI and being wielded in our name are actually being used.
What did the guidelines say that you saw?
Yeah, just to give you some level of concern, and I must say it was a short period of time in which we were allowed to see the draft version, and again, it was like a 100-plus page document. But there were some troubling things that we did see in there. For example, there was a reference to gathering data about racial and ethnic communities, basically kind of smacking of what's been called mapping or geo-mapping of communities. And you might recall that there was an effort by the Los Angeles Police Department a couple of years ago to engage in a mapping project and map the Muslim American community in the Los Angeles area. And that was met with quite a quick public rebuke, and then it forced the LAPD to actually scrap those plans.
Today we're absolutely thrilled and excited to talk about a book done by one of our own, by the famous Heidi Boghossian, Executive Director of the National Lawyers Guild. Heidi just handed me the book. It's actually free. You can go to the National Lawyers Guild website and get it, and I'll tell you that in a second. But the book is called Punishing Protest, Government Tactics That Suppress Free Speech. And it is utterly remarkable. I mean, straightforward, lays out how the government, particularly since 9/11, has made it difficult, if not impossible, for us to protest government policies.
In 2004, we wrote another report called The Assault on Free Speech, Public Assembly, and Dissent. It came out right after the Republican National Convention, and it basically cataloged a whole range of police tactics that the Guild had been hearing about and observing from our work monitoring First Amendment-protected activities in the streets. It had things like using motorcycles and horses in what we call the rush tactic to hoard protesters into a corner, basically surround them by the motorcycles or the horses, then sweep in and conduct what we call false arrests. That's basically arrests that are not based on probable cause. And several independent review commissions came out with reports after that and after protests at the FTAA demos in Miami, finding that, in fact, the real motivation for the police doing this was to keep people out of the street and out of the eyes of the mass media. So we were collecting information after that, and suddenly I realized, well, things have escalated. It's not just a catalog of police tactics in the streets that's very well coordinated from all levels of government and implemented basically all around the country. We see larger trends.
In major cities all around the country. Yeah.
Right. And joining us now is Bruce Nestor, National Lawyers Guild president of the Minneapolis chapter and a major coordinator of the RNC defense efforts. Bruce Nestor, welcome to Law and Disorder.
Thank you. Good morning.
Can you give us an update on some of the important cases coming out of the RNC protests and what you're doing these days?
Well, we're still trying to dig out from under from the work that the police have created for us. Our priority right now is still organizing the defense of 8 young people who were arrested as leaders of the RNC welcoming committee on conspiracy to commit a riot and furtherance of terrorism charges.